You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Dominik Lehman. He's in Poland. Dominik, thanks a lot for talking with me today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's
so
a pleasure.
Dominik, I want to talk about what you're working on right now. But also, where are you exactly in Poland? And just love to know exactly what it's like in a temperature-wise, weather. I don't know, a snapshot of where you are.
Well, I'm in Poland. Originally, I'm from Gdańsk, which is north. It's a seaside place. But I'm in Poznań, which is an interesting town, specifically because of the main reason I'm here is my, as I can say, the academical harness that the academical year just started, and I have a couple of years ago, I happened to run a painting course at the University of Arts in Poznań, so that's the major reason why I'm here, I could say, seeing some new young, interesting people and having a conversation with them on a daily basis. So that's basically the reason why I'm in Poznań. Poland is another question. Why am I still in Poland? It's interesting, but at the same time, it's sort of a very specific fairy tale at the moment. But we can talk about this later.
Okay, so tell me, what are you working on at the moment in terms of your studio?
Well, my studio is more virtual at the moment because for the last 6 years I was based in, with my studio I was based in Berlin, and I'm still based in Berlin, but I'm on the stage of looking for another studio. Basically, I lost it a year ago, so I'm sort of a victim of a gentrification process of Berlin. So there was a place in Kreuzberg I was happily using for last 5 years, but then I lost it, and I'm on the way of finding another space. So in fact, I do not make any studio practice at the moment in terms of the physical space, which is a pain in the ass. Speaking of the painter's necessities and sort of my stage of mind at the moment, but I'm doing other things that are not necessarily requiring the actual physical space. And so that's what I'm concentrating on at the moment until I hopefully find another space in Berlin. So I'm at the in fact. And I think it was quite successful for me for last period of time. I was trying to divide these two places and basically see students in Poznań and work on my own, concentrate on my own practice in Berlin. Those places can give you quite an input, I could say. So that's what's been happening for the last I would say half well like five and a half year, right? But you asked about my project.
I want to talk about your project, because I mean, I would imagine a lot of your work isn't done in the studio. You're one of many artists who kind of have this like post studio practice, they call it, right? It's almost like you tell me, what are you working on now?
Well, the studio is...
But you're thinking about things.
Well, I think the studio is a really important part of the... It's an apparatus which in my case is a necessity, but it's a kind of an optical necessity, also a sort of a time-based necessity. I think that the existence of the studio, first of all, allows you to stay a little bit delayed in front of the things happening outside of it. I think that's the importance of the studio, that you have the right to be a little bit late. And I think the being late is really important part of my practice in painting. I mean, you can go as far as to Duchamp's quote saying that why talk about painting? Let's talk about delays. And I think what's really missing in general visual culture at the moment, I could say also in arts is the sort of the luxury of delay. Because as long as you have a chance to be a little bit late, I would say you have time to reflect in a more critical way on the things that are otherwise are just pure visual information. So that's why I really need a studio, and hopefully I'll find another physical space. But at the moment, it's all about more work which is dedicated on the idea of a projection, which I've been continuing for last two decades, I could say.
So let's talk about that work a little bit, because there'll be some, you know, in the interview, probably images as well as projections, videos. How when did that work start, and how do you approach that? Because it's a very interesting kind of hybrid form, right?
Well, I mean, hybrid form is a good term. Hybrid form is a good term, but as long as you do not try to define its particles. And I think that really is the core of my work. That I happen to be more or less known and somebody who is particularly who is stupid enough or kind of stubborn enough to come up with the idea, which is a pretty banal idea, to use a canvas. Painted canvas as a sort of a haptic screen for the projection, which is the body or is the performer or is a moving element that somehow is employed within this architecture that is a canvas. Sometimes it's a wall in the project which I've been concentrated recently on is a space pavilion, but it is a project which I'm not really sure whether it's going to happen. But in fact, if it's not going to happen, it will actually happen. it sounds kind of complicated, but
I think you've got to explain that a little bit. I mean, just so viewers understand or listeners understand, while there'll be images of your work in this interview. We're talking about
the origins of what I've been doing runs into the basically I can say the time when I was still a student at the Royal College of Art in London it's been about two decades ago and I had this idea about the representation of a body which is more of a ghost rather than the real physical body. It came up with my visits at the National Gallery in London when I could see the Entombment of Michelangelo, which is a fantastic painting for me. In regards with the, on the one hand, the dead body which has its own weight, but in the other hand, it's sort of weightless. And these opposition also come up with my idea how we can represent the body at the moment being figurative, and I consider myself as a figurative painter. But in the means of the projection rather than in the physical means, because it also draws onto the all aspect of the perception of the other, which at the moment, I mean, we're having a conversation by the phone, but very often we just communicate ourselves throughout the sort of a ghost culture that we're very much involved with, and I can say that actually was the beginning when I started to think that I can use the projection on the more extensive way than just using a paint in my paintings, and that happened to be a method. But I find after two decades, I find this method still with a lot of potential. Speaking of a light, speaking of a projection, speaking of the way how I'm trying to communicate certain things throughout that method, it still seemed to work for me, and I don't think I'm going to give up very much. I'm probably going to continue. And
what was the let's talk about maybe go on, but I want to talk about maybe we should talk also about the last exhibition you had and go through that a little bit.
Well, I'm happy to talk about the exhibition, which just two exhibitions that are basically in front of me. The one is just basically being decided whether it's going to happen or not because it's an open call and it's the Polish Pavilion for the Venice Biennale. And I don't want to go too much with the details because it's still on the stage of the decision of the panel. But the general idea is the idea of a fence. In Polish, there's a word which is a very much local term for this, and this is a płot. Płot is it's almost like a plot. Płot describes fence. Also describes for me something which becomes a strong term in current geopolitical situation. As strong, I would say, as a wall was with regards of a Berlin Wall. The end of 80s, when the Berlin Wall was a strong message. The collapse of the Berlin Wall was one of the strongest message in the 20th century. I think in 21st century there are no more walls, but there are much more fences, and the fences are virtual. They're more psychological. We build fences. We try to separate ourselves. There is this message that can be interpreted in relation with the current political situation in Poland within the present government, sort of separating very much itself from the European context. On the other hand,
But the word you use, that means fence? That means, is that translated to something like fence?
Fence, yes, fence.
I thought it was a Polish word that I didn't understand. Yeah, okay, go on.
I use the Polish word because it's difficult to translate because the fence is less local in terms of how it sounds. So that's why I use the original Polish term płot, but you can translate it. The closest translation to English is fence. So the projection is basically consisted of the empty space, which white gallery box, which slowly is being covered by the layers of the projections that represents unrolling the fence. I happen to make that type of recordings in my studio in my former studio for quite some time when I was unrolling the sort of the roll of a fence which I bought and on the black background, and what you see within a lit space is sort of a layer of a fence which covers the space, unrolling until it becomes totally until the walls become totally white, and it slowly dissolves. So we slowly start to perceive less and less of the barrier. We just perceive the empty space throughout that process of separation. It's very structural, but I think it has its potential at the moment. I'm quite happy of this work. So we'll see how it goes.
In this work, three walls are changing throughout the...
All walls, all the space of the gallery slowly seem to be covered by the layer of light. But the layer of light coming from the projection represents the fence unrolling. I think you'll be able to see it in a documentation. So But then I'm happy to do an interview with in the radio, because sometimes it's actually more interesting to rely on the story rather than just on the pictures. So
right.
just imagine. Mm.
We are. So this is
the major work, and I'm not sure, because in fact it's a political work, although it's concentrated on the very minimal means. So I think within the current political situation in Poland, it's not that obvious that the work is going to be selected. If it's not going to be selected, it's going also have its own meaning as not selected work. So it's like a double win, in fact, because
right. If it doesn't get selected, it still wins. But there's a sense. So on these walls, though, the walls themselves aren't painted. This is pure projections on the wall.
In this case, it's a pure projection, because as long as I'm using sort of more or less sophisticated technology in terms of projections, I'm sort of more or less stuck with the idea of traditional definitions. So I have paintings with the projections, and they are paintings, and then I have a pure projections on the wall, but still the wall is exists within the white space, lit. It's not a cinematic condition which I work with. I was never interested I was rather interested in the reverse. I was always rather interested in the reverse situation, meaning that in fact you are also employing the wall as a part of a work, and that's why I would call it a video mural or video projected mural, and that's probably the closest term. A kind of traditional definition, but I think it's pretty pretty exact.
That's kind of hard to propose, I would imagine, because it's not something that's so easy to mock up or explain. It's not that you can just show them an image. This is an immersive piece that can't really be seen until you're actually within that space, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, that's the whole meaning of it, because as long as it can be properly reproduced, then I don't see the reason why it should really appear live, as long as we can reproduce it. So I think I can try to describe it. And I think it's not only the description of this particular piece, but it's also more of a description of the more general meaning of my activity, which I could compare with the condition of the idea of if you could imagine the situation of a cinema theater with the lights on. I think it's quite tempting to compare my work in that way, because it explains a lot in the way how I think about the white cube or the dark space, which are these two oppositions within a contemporary art practice. You have one or the other. Usually you have the spaces of the galleries that are brightly lit, this kind of Promethean spaces when the viewers can see each other and see the paintings in front of them. And then you have these immersive sort of post-cinematic spaces, when you have this dark cube and then you see the video running inside, and there's one or the other. And in my case, it's in between. It's the situation,
right,
which I could compare to the moment when, and I think it's also related to the particular historical moment. I mean, maybe I'm going too far, but I think it's that kind of way that I have this feeling that going to the movie theaters, that we've seen all these movies, so I enjoy this moment when the movie is over and you switch on the light, and then the movie is still running. It's a little bit faded, But I mean, who cares? We all know this, but at least we can look at each other. We could look at the audience. We could look at the people who are watching the movie with us. And this is this very specific situation which I really enjoy, and I think this moment can be compared with the whole meaning of what I'm trying to do. Not in only in case of this particular work which is now for Venice, but in general, the way how I would like people to perceive my work, but at the same time, kind of feeling present in front of the work as much as we kind of suddenly present when the movie is over and we can just look at each other in the cinema theater with the lights on.
That's clear. It's not an easy thing to discuss and articulate, but you did it. I think that's very clear. And when you say this is an open call, I'm interested in that process because when I recently interviewed someone else who, you know, is being considered for the U.S. pavilion, and people who've been in the U.S. pavilion in the U.S. the way it works is institutions from the Smithsonian Museum to the Bronx Museum of the Arts put forth artists that then a committee that selects them pulls from. Is it different in Poland? Is it an open call to all artists?
It's an open call for curators. So that's why I'm because at the moment it's not decided, so I'm not going to tell you the name of curator because that's his proposal, basically. All I can say is the project which is being proposed, which I hope it's going to be selected or not. Then, as I was saying, I will also have a certain satisfaction, or maybe not satisfaction, but the kind of a feeling of the resonance of the project not being selected. But the all projects are proposed by the curators for the pavilion, and I would like to say, you know, that much. I'm a kind of commodity who's going to be placed in by the curator, but. But I'm the part which is going to be exhibited. But the idea is a curatorial idea. So it's not an institution, it's a curator who selects the artist and proposes the project for the Biennale, which is presented at Zachęta and selected by the panel there.
But these could be independent curators as well, and not. Not strictly
yes.
Institutional
yes.
curators?
Yes. Not only linked with an institution. So they are not institutions who propose the work. They are the separate curators who are putting up together the project and proposing them.
And do you know how many curators actually propose to them?
No, I have no idea, and this is just I just feel that because this work with the fans is just so much about this particular time and the moment, which has to do with the political situation in Poland, global situation, question that you can spread it into the many different meanings. You can think about the problem of immigrants. You can also think about U.S. in terms of you know, all these things that are happening now. The Trump trying to say that he's going to build fences, and so this is more general problem. And I think it's very actual. The work originates. It's not that I was trying to do something actual, which I think is makes this work stronger, because the idea come up in 2014. So it's not like trying to answer the question or trying to be intact within the time, but I felt that this is something which should appear, I think, in this moment, or should be highlighted at this very moment. So it's now or never. That's why I mentioned this to you when you asked me about the work, which I was concentrating on in the recent months, because I think it's very, very sort of intact within the time. But apart from that, I'm not really very much into knowing of being involved within the sort of the practice of applying. For me, it's always a disaster. If I want to apply for something, I'm not a very sort of somebody who would like to propose anything or to make projects that are dedicated to a particular venue. I believe.
But in your gallery exhibitions in the past, didn't you have to do just that, or no? How did the gallery exhibitions come about? I would think that would be through proposals or.
Well, the gallery exhibitions, I need to have a certain vision, or I need to have a certain idea. But I what I'm saying is that I. Speaking of the studio practice, I think it's very important to be able to carry on with your work rather than carry on with the proposals. Because if you carry on with the proposals rather than with your work, you become a cultural designer rather than an artist. I think it's a huge difference, and I think many artists, because of the circumstances,
a cultural designer
to work with,
instead of an artist. You're separating cultural designer as opposed to an artist. If all that you're involved in is kind of proposals all the time and trying to appease whoever you're
well,
you serve
certain function, I think, and I think many artists tend to forget that it's not the most important thing to carry on with the service, providing a service to the galleries or to the art centers or to the places when there's this stage to show your work. I do believe I do try within the time to enjoy more and more a certain sense, or I believe in preserving certain sense of independence in terms of the places which can highlight your work, speaking that I do not design my work to the institution. I'd rather use the institution in terms of the space that is provided rather than provide the service to them in terms of the needs or demands. So I think that this is quite important.
I think that is important too. They're there to serve you in a sense, as opposed to the opposite, as opposed to filling their space, you know, or meeting the needs as I think you're moving towards. It's really the opposite.
What do you mean, or the opposite?
As opposed to you filling in their proposal and meeting their needs. It's more that. As I understand what you're saying, that it's quite different than that. It's not about meeting the needs or the proposals of galleries or nonprofit centers that ask. It's more about using that stage to present whatever it is that you want to.
Yes, of course. Present. I mean, I do believe in this strongly. I do believe
because there
that,
is because I think it's good that you brought that up. There's a movement towards the opposite in a way, isn't there? There's all these residencies and all of these. Applications
yes.
where they want to know why it's site specific, why you want to work here, why you're using this particular
yes.
stage. So then projects
yes.
start becoming geared to this one, as though you've been, you know, spending all your time just wanting to, you know, mount an exhibit for this one residency, which is, you know, almost impossible to
yes.
think
yes.
that way as an artist.
Mm. Mm. Yes, that's why I think it's just so important. I mean, to at least to be aware of it. How do you want to function in the relation with the institutions? How do you want to place your work? How do you see yourself within this structure? I think these are all these things that should be should be that we should really be aware of, and that's why I'm also trying to say to my students when I see them that they should be aware of all these obstacles and all these pressures that will make them be more and more vampiric. Vampiric in terms of being used or being bitten, becoming a ghost of the institution, or in terms of playing of a certain function of providing certain service rather than proposing work which it's not necessarily need to be contextualized before it appears, before it happens, or before it becomes being produced or made or physically painted. Or I have the right to be lost or to resist at least that type of demand at the first point.
I think it's a very good point. That's very important. It's good that you're telling your students that, because that's exactly what all artists have the right to resist that in a way institutional corralling that we all hear about.
And I think this is not only the institutional presence, the institutional pressure, because I think that's being visible very strongly in Poland at the moment, but I think more in general as well. This is the way how I'm able how we are able to resist the expectation, because there is this wonderful quote from Friedrich Kiesler from 1957. He wrote this very fantastic text called "Art is the Teaching of Resistance," and I think this is that type of resistance also is about. If you think about the idea of art as an activity, it also has to do with being able to develop that capacity to resist that expectation or demand, make something against it, not necessarily, but the question of against is also it's also a question mark, I think. So I think that the resistance is really an important factor at the moment, because otherwise we all become cultural designers, I think.
I agree. I'm so glad you talked about that. Dominic, I know there was another project that you're also working on that perhaps we should discuss. I believe it was Approaching the Night of the Living Dead.
This is a series of site-specific projections which I'm preparing now for the festival called Narracje in Gdańsk in Poland, and I'm using the footage from the from the Night of the Living Dead, the film of Romero from 1968, where I'm basically trying to focus on the particular moments of the zombies coming out of the particular spaces in the film. So it's like making a frame within the frame of the film, and it has a lot to do with the general idea which we're discussing about the horror. And the question of a horror, and what I think my recent reflection about that is that I just thought that speaking of a horror, if you would like to define it, would be from my point of view, is that the real horror happens when the fairy tale becomes site specific. so that's very much it.
I love that idea.
So that's the definition, but this is also something quite interesting. I would say also something quite actual at the moment, not only about my art, but in about reality in more general terms.
Yeah, I think you're right. Let me ask you what books you're reading now before we go, because that's what I've been asking people lately. Is there a particular book or books you've been reading that you want to share with us?
Well, at the moment I'm reading Pasolini after the genocide. It's a selection of texts, but I think it's very important, interesting to read it, specifically in terms of his writing about this particular after-war liaisons between the church, Catholic Church, and fascism. And it rings the bell at the moment, speaking of the current situation in Poland, the way what is the position of the Catholic Church in terms of the political situation. So that repetition, I think I enjoy it. So this is the book I'm reading, but I'm the other books that are I think interesting to read now for somebody being Polish, and this is also has to do with my work, because I'm reading Maria Janion, the Polish writer, about vampire, and I think the Polish vampire is the vampire that is the only vampire on the world which has a political thinking involved. There are no other vampire that can make a political statement. And so that type of a vampire, I think, is somehow related also to the idea of a ghost or a zombie that is present in my real practice. Speaking of paintings, a friend of mine told me recently that I do make ghost paintings, and I thought, oh, how interesting. It sounds pretty banal at the first point, but in the second go, I think, yeah, well, that is actually exactly what I do. So I do ghost paintings. I do a painting which is not necessarily you can describe as a projection and the canvas, but the presence of the figure is in fact the presence of a ghost in there. So this is another book which I could say is specifically in time. I think that's what I can say at the moment. I'm sort of influenced by speaking of literature.
Dominic, I want to thank you for talking with me today. It's been great hearing about your work and discussing especially the issue of resistance. Thank you so much.
Well, it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure. So I'm happy to share these few sentences with the crowd that I being included in the crowd of the people I also admire. Speaking of your other interviews, so thank you again for inviting me.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.